This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Great to have you with us this afternoon, Jan Vermeulen, editor for My Broadband at CO.za.
It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
I still want to say editor at large. It still wants to come out, and I have to stop myself. I forget, you've been promoted. You're the main man.
So, yeah, it's been it was 3 years, so it's going to take a while to get used to.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that because I feel it every week. Jan, take me through the top couple of stories on your website today.
Sure. So perhaps a good place to start is a positive note is that we've been seeing a lot of money flowing into financial technology startups in South Africa. Perhaps I can just go through some of them. Financial technology startups have raised over 1.3 billion rand from notable investors, and that's just in July. The investors include Naspers, Bonani Capital, Old Mutual, and the Dragonair Investment Group. The largest investment, you can see the largest chunk of that 1.3 billion was made up of Dragonair, which invested 1.23 billion into Yoko. So I don't know if you've come across Yoko, but it's a payment tool system for small businesses and micro merchants. They offer card payment facilities and stuff that you can use in situations where you might not have guaranteed access to the best networks, and you need sort of more robust devices, and they offer stuff on a more affordable level.
Absolutely fascinating, because that is such a competitive space, that payment space. I mean, everybody who's made any money has done it there, and you would have thought they would have found all the niches by now. So you say there's still more space and money's coming in for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really exciting to see. The companies I'm going to be listing here are just some of them. Breaking away from the payments for just a second, there was an insurance technology startup, Pineapple, which closed its Series A funding, and raised 80 million rand in venture capital,
And what did it bring to the table? Was it using AI? Was it underwriting differently? What on earth made it appealing?
So Pineapple's big thing is to just make it easy to get short-term insurance. And so, the last I checked them out, like their biggest, feature was you basically take a photo of the thing that you want to insure, and then they come back with a quote for you.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. And I'm just interested. Are these startups, are they perhaps Cape Town based?
Mostly? Not all of them. All of them. So I'd have to go and look to see where exactly they're all based, but no, a lot of the fintech stuff is happening in, Johannesburg, but also just all around the country. And especially now, during lockdown and COVID, people are all over the country and sometimes even all over the world.
Okay. Now that is a positive place to start. What else you got for me?
Yeah, so moving away from positive, but let's stay in financial, we did an analysis of how much it will cost to replace all the ATMs that were destroyed, in the riots and looting, based on statistics provided by the Banking Association of South Africa. So, they said that looters damaged or destroyed around 1,400 ATMs, and 269 bank branches. And so just, going on those figures, we were able to break them down, by bank. We had like rough figures from the Banking Association and from each bank, about how many of their ATMs were destroyed in the process. And without belaboring the point, it comes in total to 539 million rand.
That is just ATMs.
That is just to replace the damaged ATMs. Now it's probably not going to cost exactly that much, but that sort of gives you the ballpark, because there will be some ATMs that can be repaired, whereas a bunch of them are just going to need to be replaced. You see the photos, one of the photos in the article, for those who want to go and check it out, that was retweeted by Yusuf Abramji, was a hand grenade that was shoved in an ATM in Richards Bay. And so that didn't appear to detonate. So, when you shove a hand grenade in an ATM, you're not going to fix it easily. That's an ATM that needs to be replaced entirely. And the ATMs in South Africa are not the cheap ATMs that you can get overseas. Because they need to be protected. They need to be hardened and fortified, precisely to try and make it difficult for thieves to just break into them and steal the cash. And so,
this gets my brain thinking, because if you've quantified this as 540 million rand, that is only ATMs. It seems to me that the 7 billion that Sasria has reserved for claims seems woefully inadequate. It's got to be bigger. Got to be bigger than that.
And it's going to be interesting to see, do the banks factor into that, or do they claim elsewhere? Do they not get Sasria money? Are they insured through some other mechanism, and so Sasria doesn't have to worry about them? But yeah, it's a good point you make.
Well, I can answer that question for you. In South Africa, it's illegal to insure those risks anywhere but Sasria. You can insure the business interruption losses that flow from that elsewhere. But that then becomes a whole different discussion. The material damage, South Africa is Sasria. So they're in for it, I'm afraid. There's no avoiding it.
And there was some debate, I remember, regarding whether Sasria, would actually do this, and whether there would be some kind of legal fight over whether this was indeed, whether this indeed classified as, under the terms that
riot and strike.
Public,
what else exactly?
Specifically politically motivated, motivated public violence, right? And so there might have been some argument to say, no, this wasn't politically motivated. And so, but Cyril Ramaphosa coming on TV and saying Sasria will cover this.
Yes, I don't think that's up for debate.
I think shut down any kind.
Interesting stuff coming out of you this afternoon. Give me one more.
Sure. Perhaps you want to talk about something cryptocurrency related?
Yes. Tell me about an e-rand. I mean, I don't want the real rand. Why would I want an e-rand?
Yeah, so let's talk about central bank digital currencies rather than about scams like Ameritrading International. So CBDCs, for folks who follow publications like The Economist and other business publications, you will have come across the concept of a CBDC. They're a really hot topic right now. You've got central banks around the world talking about launching their own digital currencies, and South Africa is not alone. And in fact, we've been experimenting with a concept since at least 2019. Other banks, while we're tinkering with it, other central banks have actually come out with concrete plans. So China wants to have a digital version of the renminbi in time for the 2022 Winter Olympics. Russia wants to have a prototype of the e-ruble ready this year still and launch trials in 2022. And then, you've got other governments like ours, the United States, the UK, the European Union, all kind of investigating the feasibility of these central bank digital currencies. And what's interesting, what's coming out of the United States, there's almost like competing ideologies, right? So you've got, on the one hand, sort of more libertarian, sometimes even anarchic tendencies in the cryptocurrency space, and where they've got their own versions of cryptocurrencies that are pegged to what they call fiat currencies, right? So you've got something like Tether, USDT, which is a cryptocurrency that is pegged to the US dollar. And that allows you, to do all kinds of interesting things on cryptocurrency, on blockchains with cryptocurrency. Now, what the U.S. Federal Reserve wants to do is to kind of undermine this whole stablecoin thing. A lot of these central bankers see stablecoins as an existential threat to, even the global financial system. And so they definitely want the stablecoins to go the way of the dodo and replace them with their own digital currencies. And it's going to be interesting to see what works out.
Fascinating space.
Yeah, and you're already seeing regulators cracking down hard on cryptocurrency projects around the world. And already there's investigations into Tether ongoing. There's a lot of regulatory scrutiny, especially on stable coins right now, but in the cryptocurrency space in general. You can see this fight is starting to come to a head. All of a sudden, cryptocurrencies have become big enough that they're actually scaring central banks, and now suddenly the central banks
want
to step in with regulation.
I'm going to take you back. We're way out of time, but just a quick question for you. Yes, no answer. Carol Zimmerman wants to know, was the cash that was stolen from the ATMs, was it marked or could it be used?
Some of them, at least some of them were marked, because the Reserve Bank has issued warnings regarding the dye-stained notes to warn the country, please do not accept the dye-stained notes. They are worth nothing.
Stuff.
And so usually when you blow up an ATM like that, it's a, last I checked it, at least in cash and transit vehicles, they've got a thing called a polyurethane dispenser. PUDU is what it's affectionately called, the polyurethane dispensing unit. And it marks the notes, and they are not acceptable as legal tender in South Africa. So hopefully the whatever cash was stolen from these ATMs is utterly unusable.
Jan Vermeulen, interesting stuff this afternoon. Thank you. Look forward to chatting next week.
Chat next week. Catch you later.